Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here at the grill. Doc Dave is back at the bar somewhere, and welcome to all of our Radio Northwest affiliates. It's almost summer. In fact, it's been kind of summerish in most parts of the country, and the barbecues are firing up in the backyards, and the competition trail is getting pretty warm also. So today on the Nation, we welcome back our old friend, Jesse Henry, now from Tulsa, but late as from Oregon. Jesse is one of the thousands of road warriors out there on the barbecue competition trail, so he's here for an update. We've got some other updates a little later in the show. Don't forget to tune in for your smokehouse products competition for to win that little smoker box. And our music today by Queen, the late Freddie Mercury, and all that. So we've got all that stuff out of the way. Jesse, welcome back to Barbecue Nation.
Oh, glad to be on the show. I love coming on the show.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good deal. What you been doing?
Well, just been surviving the Oklahoma spring weather, kind of in the middle of competition season as well. So it's kind of an interesting combination because you can get quite an experience in the evenings at some competitions.
And how's that?
Well, I think our last competition, we had 80 mile an hour winds whip through the contest site and about 5 inches of rain dump in about less than an hour coming down on us on Friday night. And people were praying to the heavens to survive the night, but everyone made it, just a few broken canopies and whatnot.
Sure. I've suffered from that, both in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, where it gets kind of warm and muggy, and all of a sudden the clouds roll in and the wind kicks up, and next thing you know, Noah's Ark could float.
That's right. It doesn't rain like it does up there. It just comes down all at once, but then it's nice, you know, right after. So
yeah,
I mean, you get it one way or the other. So I almost prefer this way rather than the months of rain.
Well, yeah, and it's warmer.
Yeah,
you know, when it's cold here, it's cold. I mean, it's right. And damp. You don't get away from it. Anyway, so what have you been doing out on the barbecue road?
It's been kind of a strange year. We haven't done as many competitions, but the ones we've done well. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's been a good year because we have a lot of stuff on the horizon coming up. So, we've been really preparing for that. But, our last competition, we took fifth overall. I think there was, you know, pretty big field. I think Darren Worth was there from Iowa Smoky D's, and Travis Clark, the national champion, was there. And, you know, just some of the big names you hear on the circuit, and we held our own. It was a pretty nice contest for us.
Are you kind of getting some name recognition back there now?
Yeah, people know pretty much who we are now. And, you know, everyone stops, say hi, and, you know, first name basis with all those people. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice to get into the group, I would say, and then just be welcomed by everybody, and you know, because we pretty much try and get awards. You know, we expect to win an award at every event, and it's been pretty true. There's been very few we haven't gotten any.
How has your cooking changed?
My cooking is just kind of evolved. You know, I cook a lot hotter and faster now. You know, the flavors are a little bit spicier down here as far as kind of what we're turning in. We've got a chicken program now that is completely different than I did up in the Northwest, but it just it brings a lot more flavor to the finished product. And I think it's definitely helped our game.
Are you still cooking with both pellets and stick wood and the combination? I know you did a lot of pellets up here, or have you switched on that too?
I pretty much stick with the stick burner most of the time. If anything, I have a little charcoal smoker that I bring with me to add a little bit, you know, say they say a little bit of backyard flavor, but it's more of a familiar flavor of that, you know, that Kingsford kind of that, you know, mind you, when your dad was cooking on the back deck, on back patio, and
sure,
some kind of warm feeling. So my meat might go on there just for a few minutes just to kind of get that added flavor.
Do you miss having all the seafood that you had up here?
I miss the seafood and the fresh produce.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be surprising, you know, you go here, produce has to be shipped in here, so it doesn't last as long. And, you know, there you go to any store and produce is fresh here. You got to pick what store you go to. You get fresh produce.
Yeah, that's probably tough. And do you have, and I'm not really honestly familiar with this in the Tulsa area, but do you have the specialty stores? Like we have, you know, Four Seasons and Market of Choice and New Seasons, and I got my season screwed up there, but I think you get the general idea. Do they have those kind of boutique markets there?
They have a couple Whole Foods. They have a couple of those, and then there's a store chain that's called Sprouts, which is very similar to, I guess, New Seasons. But I would say it's almost like a notch below New Seasons. And but it's still kind of a similar organic, their own branding type concept. So they have that here. So yes, and then they don't have as many store chains. They only have like Reese's is the big store chain. I guess that would be equivalent to like a Albertsons or a Safeway or something mm-hmm. like that.
But don't they have Kroger's there? I know they have Kroger's in Texas.
I haven't seen one. It's just mainly, like I said, it's Reese's is the big store. And there's a place called Warehouse Market, which it's similar to, not Cub Foods, but whatever that chain is, if you know what I mean. I'm talking about Cub Foods.
Like
chain.
Food for Less or Winco or one of those?
Right, Winco.
Yeah.
Okay. So something like that. So they do. Oklahoma's just a little bit different in just some of their liquor laws, and so that's why you don't see a lot of the store chains come in Oklahoma. They go down to Texas, but they don't quite make their way up here.
Still a dry county there?
Yeah, pretty much a dry state. Next year they will actually sell real beer in the stores, so that's a big win for all of Oklahoma.
God, it's only taken 130 years to do it.
Exactly. It's a different, you know, and it's tough, you know, like and we'll get in a little bit of beer talk here, but it's tough. Like if you want to start, like microbrews are big all over the country. It's not very much here because of the laws, the way they're so archaic that it's hard to get anything started. So they're slowly changing and that scene is starting to develop itself.
I know when I first got out of college, I'd already been to Oklahoma several times, but when I got out to college and went to see a friend there, he took me to a, quote, club, and at this club, it wasn't a strip club, I mean, it was just like a bar, but you brought your own bottle, and you had to pay $5 to join the club or something, and then you paid the waitress every time she brought you something from your own bottle. It was really strange.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's this old school, and you know, if you're kind of thinking about the Bible Belt, Oklahoma is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Sure. Well, and some people used to get flogged with belts, you know.
Yeah, but you know, for the most part, everyone's nice and the great, great cook, definitely great in barbecuers and into cooking, and it's really a family atmosphere down here.
I know all the time I've spent in Texas and Oklahoma, and when I went to somebody's home, they were big on like venison, game meats, not just mm-hmm. beef and chicken and pork, but they were big on that. And we are too up here. I mean, I give you that, but they have different types of hunting seasons, different harvesting allotments, that type of thing. So they're always kind of chewing on a piece of jerky or something when we probably have run out already. So,
right, definitely. And believe it or not, bologna is a big thing here. And you'll see that in a lot of barbecue restaurants around here. They serve smoked bologna. And it's actually pretty good. If you have never tried it on your smoker at home, just, you know, throw a little rub on there, throw it on 275, and let it go for a couple hours, and it'll be awesome.
Cool. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We've got our buddy, longtime buddy now, Jesse Henry, who's currently from Tulsa and road warrior there on the barbecue circuit, the KCSB, among others. And we're going to come back and talk to Jesse more right after this. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave is... I haven't seen Dr. Dave for a while. I'm not sure he still exists. Actually, he does. I know that's true. We've got Jesse Henry with us today from Tulsa via the Pacific Northwest. Before we get back to Jesse, I want to tell you, if you want to email us, you can do it at barbecuenation@kxl.com. That's barbecuenation, BBQNation, @kxl.com. Or you can look us up on Facebook, which is... BBQNation/JT. You can do that. Also, our affiliates, KPNW in Eugene, KFLS in Klamath Falls, and all the other ones that play Barbecue Nation or air it, we thank them on the Radio Northwest Network. Now we're back talking with our buddy Jesse Henry, and I'm asking him how his cooking has changed. How is your, has your presentation changed at all?
I think just in the normal evolution of barbecue, it has a little bit, but not a whole lot, because it just, you know, you're presenting the meat still in a savory kind of, you want to eat that fashion. So we've kind of always done that. I'd say what pieces we put in the box change a little bit, like as far as different parts of the pork butt. You know, the pork butt's made up of, like, I think 7 different muscles, and so there's different flavors in there, so you want to highlight those, so you don't want to put too many choices, but you want to put enough to make it look like you're a skilled pit master and provide lots of flavor. Same thing with the brisket. You know, you have your point meat and your flat meat, and so sometimes you put in, you know, slices from the flat, and you'll cube up the point for what they call burn ends, and those are kind of like, I guess, I call them barbecue crack, you know, they're pretty savory and awesome. So, it changes up, but sometimes you don't get those points to render out, so they don't quite make it in the box. So it changes just a little bit just in the course of cooking. But for the most part, we try and keep the same presentation for every context.
Have you run into any politics? And I don't say that to be glib or crappy about stuff. It's just you're kind of new back there. And probably to some of those old boys and girls, you haven't quite earned your bones yet.
Well,
and I heard that. Chuckle, by the way.
Yeah, it's just. But I think it happens wherever you're at. I mean, it happens in the Northwest. If you're in a sport or an area that people care about things and people have different ideals about how it should be run, then yeah, you're going to run into some politics. They put me on the board this year for the Oklahoma Barbecue Society, so I'm kind of embroiled in the politics of helping run the association down here. And so with that always comes politics, and because I'm newer, it's hard for them to kind of listen to what I have to say because they don't realize the experience I've had up in the Northwest of running another organization. So it's kind of, I have to almost start from scratch.
Well, that's not unusual, I'm afraid. The only thing that would be worse is Texas because, you know, they jump higher and shoot straighter and all
right.
that and blah, blah, blah. But I think that would probably happen no matter where you went,
right.
unless you went to the state of Washington or Northern California when you left here. Other than that, I think you're just kind of stuck with that for a while. But, you know, I don't know that much about Oklahoma politics. In the barbecue business.
All right. And I understand that, and we're working through it, and I think we're in a positive direction for the association, and we're growing, and so it's good, and I'm slowly getting more responsibility and whatnot. It takes a little bit of fun out of the cook-offs because you're always kind of on your guard a little bit, but, you know, in the end of the day, we're all there to have fun and barbecue, so you always have something in common with everybody.
Have you changed the way you at all, the way you go through your day at a cook-off? You know, before when you were doing it a little lower and slower and you know, different things we've talked about because you've been on the show a number of times, and you just said in the last segment that you're doing a little faster and a little hotter. How does that affect your day now, your timing especially?
Like in the Northwest, we used to get there on a Saturday and prep everything real early, like right when I first got there. It'd be real important to get my meat inspected, get that injection in, and get the rub on so you start flavoring those bigger meats. Here, it's not such a big deal. I can get there earlier and set up and just relax. I don't really do the prep work until the evening hours, just because I don't want the salt to sit on there too long, and I think it can have also a negative effect on your meat. So I just kind of do it right before I go to bed.
Is there a beer consumption level in there too?
I pack the same amount of beer for every contest, so I don't overdo it.
Is that why you put that extra little trailer on your motorhome?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So because it can get away from you, especially when it's hot and muggy. You could just start drinking, and then all of a sudden you don't realize it, and you're kind of tipsy, and then you forget to do something, and so you got to keep your wits, you know. And those boys down here, they'll keep feeding you beers just to kind of keep you off your game. So
they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, you get to 9:30, and then all of a sudden the hard alcohol comes out. And, you know, it's a good time and stuff like that, but you really have to just, if you're there to compete, you have to watch yourself and rein yourself in and have time to enjoy yourself, but be true to your timelines about when you want to prep.
It's kind of interesting because we've had Myron on the show now, and he's coming back, I think, next month. But, you know, behind the scenes, you know, from what I can tell and from what he tells me, that he's usually got a cocktail in his hand. But, you know, he's a sipper. He's not a gulper. So he kind of makes it through the day at these contests like that. I think he has a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure he does. And, you know, he probably doesn't. I don't know how many does by himself anymore, but I'm sure he has some people to help him keep on time and cook. But yeah, there's people you see, man, that guy's passed out, and then all of a sudden he's walking four times up on the stage, and you're like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
It's just the way they do, you know. It's the way they spend their weekends, and this is what they want to do, and, you know, they caution to the wind, but they just, when it's game time, they're on.
Well, they're also in game shape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't change much when they're at home, because if you did, right, if you just tried to do that stuff on the weekend, stay up late, have one or two extra cocktails because you're not going anywhere, you're going to crawl back in your motorhome, might be kind of tough to keep that up.
Yes, I agree.
Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Jesse Henry. Don't forget, we're going to talk about the Smokehouse Products little stainless steel smoker box too when we come back.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'd like to say hi to everybody listening up in Seattle, too, on KVI 570. Appreciate you being with us today. We've got Jesse Henry from the Tulsa area now, who used to live in the Portland area, and he's a competitive barbecue champion. You did the Jack, you did the World, didn't you? You did a number of them.
Yeah, we did everything. We did the Jack a couple times. We did the American Royal. We did Sam's Club National Finals, and it's pretty amazing experience. And it's just so much fun to compete. It's especially as you get older, and it's always fun to get that adrenaline going.
But have any of your contemporaries back there learned from you, do you think? Because you came from a completely different part of the world, you know, the way they would look at it.
I mean, the guys here, have they learned from me, or the guys back there, have they learned from me, or both?
Well, the guys, I think both, but I think the guys in Tulsa are in the on the circuit you compete on now. Have they learned things from you?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I would say I've helped quite a few guys. You know, I get the, you know, being considered a new guy, I get put with the new guys when I get loaded in, so I get, end up helping, getting put around the newer cook teams. So I always help people that are up and coming or just the first cook off and they have no idea what's going on. So I always give them tips and stuff. So I'm pretty sure I've helped a few people along the way, because bottom line is no matter where you're from, good barbecue is going to be good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just going to be subtle differences and stuff. And so I let people try my food and stuff. And I was like, that's great. And, you know, they'll ask me questions and I usually pretty upfront and answer them.
What's the worst thing you ever saw somebody try to cook? And I mean, we know the divisions, the meat, you know, beef, pork, all that stuff. But what's the worst thing you ever saw, like a rank amateur, turn in for judging?
I've seen some interesting stuff, like, you know, just stuff thrown in the box and, or just kind of, you know, it just doesn't, it looks murdered, not cooked, you know, it's just, you're just looking at it and going, how did that happen? And, you know, you kind of watch them and it said stuff didn't look like it went crazy, but, you know, they burn it up or whatever and they just turned it in. But you see all kinds of stuff. Like I've seen guys pull in with a smoker that they hadn't cleaned in years. And it looked like a bat cave in there full of grease and, you know, creosote and stuff. And then they go light it up, it catches fire. And they're like, what's going on? You know, and just crazy stuff like that. Just people don't think, or just, you know, let's say that seasoning or whatever. But, you know, if you go into a competitive endeavor, you want stuff consistent and clean. So it's a different approach, I guess.
Sure. You ever see somebody show up with just a basic, like a Weber kettle grill and compete with that?
I've seen people show up with a couple of them. I think, you know, with so many meats, it's hard to do on one. I haven't seen anybody show up just with one, but I know it can be done. So I'm not going to knock anybody for their smoker or whatever, but, you know, you can get creative and do it. I mean, are you going to put out consistent product every time? Maybe, maybe not, but depends on how much you've practiced and worked on your craft.
The reason I ask that is because we've got a dear friend of mine here who has had the same kettle barbecue for like 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in my book, I would have burned out the bottom of it a long time ago, but Al doesn't do that, and he's quite happy with it all. I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, they have a cult following. I think every smoker has a cult following, though, so everyone's got their idea of what's a good smoker. But you can do, on a Weber kettle, you can do any meat and make it taste good if you set it up right. I mean, it's so functional. You know, you put stuff, you know, cold around the edge. You can move them to one side. You can quarter the coals or whatever. You can put them in a big pile in the middle and direct grill. It's quite the versatile unit if you take the time to learn it.
Do you see anybody with homemade grills and smokers coming? I mean, you know, most of the units that you guys use at the professional level, you will not see at your local store unless you've got a real specific barbecue store that sells a lot of pellets and a lot of charcoal and a lot of stick wood, et cetera, et cetera. You might see one similar to one you cook on there, but most of the time you're not. And I'm just curious because I think some people are quite creative and quite handy, and they can go ahead and say, I looked at Jesse's smoker and I looked at Myron's smoker and I looked at Moe's smoker over here, and I like this from this and this from this and this from this. And I try to make it myself at home. So have you seen any concoctions like that?
Yeah. I mean, you see it, actually you see it quite a bit, because the higher end competition cookers are high end. I mean, they're like a boat. I mean, you're paying 10,000 plus for a smoker, and really you could build one for less. So
sure.
You see a lot of people try and stuff, but what they, you can do it by looking at it, but those high-end smokers have gone through a lot of research and a lot of development, a lot of trial and error. What those companies can do is that they can build a lot of stuff that they can throw away. And so they've made it to where it looks, you know, to where everything functions with no smoke leaks or, you know, consistent temperatures, however you want to set it up. They figured out how to do that. Someone at home can come pretty close, but I don't think it'll be the same. But you see, yeah, you see home, you see all kinds of different ideas or theories from uprights to, you know, huge propane tanks cut up and all kinds of stuff. It doesn't mean you can't make good barbecue out of it.
It's just, sure.
But yeah, you see all kinds of creative, there's so many creative people out there that it's almost like art.
Well, yeah, I wasn't, you know, and I certainly wouldn't knock anybody for that. They might show up with something that I might be scared to try.
Right.
Because I'm not sure why there's a, you know, a vial of nitroglycerin on the outside of it. But regardless of that, I would, you know, never knock anybody for that. But I just think that, you know, trying to do a knockoff of a combination of things without the real knowledge of the engineering and the dynamics and the heat flow and the smoke and all that, you know, you might be. You know, you might make something that's knocks it out of the park, but then again, you might make something that just does a half-assed job.
Yeah, and I think I've seen some people that have started making them at home, and they've gotten pretty good. So now they're starting to provide pits for other people. So it's almost like they've gotten to where a level where, oh yeah, I made this for myself, but it works pretty good. It looks like that one over there that was $10,000, and I can sell this one for a couple grand and. You know, whatever, and you start seeing two or three of them, and so you know it happens, and you know, like I said, there's talented people, and people got to start somewhere. You know, you start building a pit here and there, and all of a sudden you build two pits, and it's just a matter of if you have passion for it and want to put the time in the craft, you'll figure it out.
Well, I started on charcoal, and then when I got serious about things, I went to lump, of course. And started doing that, and I built outside pits. You're talking about, you know, building things yourself. I built this, it was kind of a U-shaped deal, and it had six different, barbecue compartments on the top. And then it had a thing for gas on the very end, the very last, you know, little quadrant of it had a thing that I could put a gas heater on, or a gas stovetop or whatever I wanted to put in there. So, you know, and then I built another one, which was just a two-bay structure, and I called that my warming oven. And it was about as hillbilly as you could come, trust me.
Right.
But it worked.
Exactly. And I think if anybody cooks enough, that you understand how smoke and heat and all that flows, and you have a pretty good idea what you want. And, you know, and a lot of these pit masters will talk to the builder and say, hey, I want my pit to be able to do this, and do that, and you know, it's kind of how I want the smoke to flow, and a good builder will be able to do that.
Sure. Hey, I want to remind everybody, if you send us your recipe and a picture, or you can just send us a picture of something you've cooked outside, cooked inside, I don't care, but we'd really prefer it to be outside on the grill, send it to barbecuenation@kxl.com. if we choose yours, you're going to get one of these little stainless steel Smokehouse Products smoker box. And it's pretty cool. It will help turn your gas grill into a smoker or help your pellet grill smoke a little more. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back and wrap up the show with our buddy Jesse Henry right after this. Don't go away.
Oh, you're going to take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds in the studio. We've got Jesse Henry with us this weekend, today. Well, I guess this show plays all the time now, you know, so you're with us, Jesse. Let's just put it that way. Real quickly, next week we've got Myron Mixon coming on the show, and so that'll be fun. And don't forget, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. And you were going to do the ye old Facebook thing.
Yeah, you did request that. Facebook.com/barbecuenation with JT.
He's got it. He's a winner. Jesse, now that you've been down there, we've just got a couple minutes left. But now that you've been down there, what are you thinking as far as, is all barbecue good? I mean, is it to your individual taste? I mean, we were talking off the air about a guy in Texas that argued with you that, of course, Texas is the only place you can get barbecue. So, which is not true.
I think that barbecue can be enjoyed anywhere. If someone puts passion and time and effort into cooking the meat for a long time, it's going to be good. You know, it's there's no thing about barbecue. There's no one right way. Right? There's many different ways. There's many different smokers. There's many different woods. Many different types of meat. So if someone takes the time and effort to figure out how to make great barbecue, it's going to be great.
Sure. I've run into that Texas thing too, and I like a lot of the people in Texas. I've been to Aaron's. I've interviewed him. You know, Wayne Mueller, I know him. I met him, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, Texas is always a proud state, and they're proud of everything down there, and you can't fault them for that. But I've had good barbecue in Florida. I've had good barbecue in the Carolinas and in Georgia, and in Arizona, California, Oregon, you know, you name it. So I wouldn't say that it's all just from the Lone Star State.
Exactly. You can get anywhere. Like I said, anyone has passion, you know, effort. Even there, your listeners up there in the Northwest, you know, get in your backyard, start cooking. That's where it starts. And then just figure out how things work, and anybody can produce great barbecue.
All right. One last question for you today, Jesse. What is the one thing that you're really focused on this year, going into this year's competition?
Really putting the consistency in four meats at a time. Right now, you'll see we're in the top 100 in the country in four meats, but we haven't been able to do that at one contest. So it's been very, very hit and miss. So we've put everything together, and we expect to win a couple contests this year.
I would expect you would, but yeah. You know, you got to give yourself a break too. That is kind of hard to get all four. There's very few people that do that in the finals, you might say.
It is, but that's the name of the game, and that's the game we play, and you know, we didn't come down here for a second.
I got it. Jesse Henry, thanks, buddy, for being with us. Good luck. We'll check in with you in a few months and see how you're doing there.
Perfect.
Yeah, coming up next, like I said, we've got Myron Mixon on the show next week, and remember my old motto here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out a lot of my recipes and stuff at thecowboycook.com. We've got McGarian and Bushlack coming up behind us on UFO. And NFL playoffs on the game here. So, Reynolds, have a good week, buddy. And everybody listening, have a good week. We will see you next week here on Barbecue Nation. How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your room. Took off to Tennessee, I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married in the money, girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone. And your kids hear you cry down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing. That be singing, it's me, baby. Would you wake up call? How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.